For several pages, you will find our annual report on Christian higher education. May I call your attention particularly to the materials on page 69 and on page 70, and say two things briefly. If it were not for the cooperative program and your giving Sunday by Sunday, I doubt seriously if we have a single college, including Wake Forest, that could maintain its accreditation. This money for current operation is equivalent to an endowment of about $33 million. And this is how we operate. This is our lifeline. On the other hand, on the other side of the picture, this then does not provide any capital funds. May I call your attention briefly to page 70, in which you will find a detailed analysis of the cooperative program advanced to date. We had hoped that this program would bring at least $4 or $5 million to meet the capital needs of our colleges. But now the most optimistic hope would not exceed $394,000 to be divided among our seven colleges. I call your attention to this and to other sections of the report. I had planned to recognize the presidents. They're on the platform, but I shall not do that. But in speaking for them, may I express our deep appreciation to you for your support through the cooperative program of our colleges. And now I shall turn the desk back over to our president.
So we'll give this for information. All right, we have had our report from the Council of Christian Education. And now we do come to the discussion of recommendations relating to our colleges. And I recognize Dr. Price.
Mr. President, fellow messengers, if you'll turn in your book of reports to page 6, you will find the first of the two recommendations that come from the General Board. I want to take the time this morning to read each recommendation that you might understand it fully. Page 6, that Section A of Article 9 of the Constitution of the Baptist State Convention, said Article 9 being entitled Institutions and Agencies of the Convention, be amended by adding thereto new paragraphs to be numbered and to be read as follows. Arabic 6. Beginning at the 1965 convention and at each annual convention thereafter, 75% of the trustees of each of our colleges whose regular term expires in 1969 and annually thereafter shall be nominated and elected by the convention as provided in subsections 1 through 5, Section A, Article 9. The other 25% of the trustees of each college may be nominated as follows. The Board of Trustees of each college shall submit to the convention's nominating committee two names for each vacancy from which the committee shall select one, and these shall be nominated to the convention. The provisions of the Constitution as to residence and church membership of trustees need not apply to the trustees of the 25% group nominated and elected in the foregoing manner. At all times, at least 75% of the trustees of each college shall be members of Baptist churches cooperating with the Baptist State Convention. The convention's nominating committee shall have the right to reject any or all nominees submitted by the Board of Trustees of each college and request new nominations from said Board of Trustees. In filling vacancies which may occur before the expiration of the regular four-year term, the successor trustees shall be elected in the same manner as the trustees whom they replace. Fractions will be adjusted in terms of a four-year cycle, providing a maximum of 25% of any board of trustees over a period of 4 years. 7. The trustees of each college shall have the power to amend the charter of the college to conform to this section. The provisions herein established for the nomination of trustees to the convention's nominating committee shall apply to each of the colleges of the convention on vote of the trustees of said college. B, that Article 3 of the bylaws of the Baptist State Convention be amended by adding at the end of the following paragraph of said Article 3 the following. Provided, however, that the provisions of this paragraph shall not apply to as many as 25% of the members of the Board of Trustees of each college nominated and elected in the manner prescribed in paragraph 6 of Section A of Article 9 of the Constitution of the Baptist State Convention. Mr. President, I move that our Constitution and bylaws be amended in the manner I have just suggested from this report.
Do I hear a second to the motion? Motion has been made and seconded, and we're ready for discussion. I recognize Dr. Price.
Mr. President, I would like to give a few words of explanation concerning this proposal. I want you to keep in mind four things. At all times, 100% of the trustees of each college shall be elected by this convention. Second, that under this new plan, 75% of the trustees of North Carolina Baptist colleges will always be members of cooperating Baptist churches. The other 25% of these trustees may be elected without regard to geographical location or denominational affiliation. Three, in particular, the 25% will be determined in this manner. The Board of Trustees of each college will submit two names for each vacancy filled. The nominating committee and the convention may reject one or both of these nominations. In case of rejection, the trustees would have to send two more names, and this process would continue until the nominating committee and the convention are both satisfied with those suggested. The fourth main point in this particular amendment is this. It is a permissive plan. It is up to each of the Board of Trustees to implement any part of it or all of it. If any school does not want out-of-state Baptist or non-Baptist to serve, the present plan of our convention will continue. But keep in mind, at all times, the convention will elect all of the trustees. Now let me make this comment concerning procedure. This matter has come to you today after thorough study by many convention leaders. Last January, Dr. Crouch, our General Secretary, in his inaugural message, asked the Council on Christian Education to study this trustee proposal in the light of all the colleges. Such a study was made, and the Council on Christian Education, in unanimous action, recommended this proposal to the Executive Committee. The Executive Committee studied the matter thoroughly and recommended it to the General Board. After full and free debate at the board meeting in July, the General Board comes today to recommend this proposal to you. I want you to keep in mind that the Council on Christian Education is composed of the seven presidents of our Baptist colleges, along with the chairman of the Board of Trustees of the schools, the seven deans of the schools, along with certain other general board members. My friends, These men are our Baptist brethren. Most of them have dedicated their lives to Christian higher education within a Baptist framework. Surely, they want nothing but the very best for our schools. Yet these presidents, these deans, these chairmen of the trustees come with a unanimous recommendation to us that this is the best approach to the problems of their schools. I cannot, for example, conceive of Dr. Blackwell wanting any program that would not keep Mars Hill College in the mainstream of Baptist life. And I want to say this about our executive committee and the general board. I have never found these men to be yes men. They are men and women who think for themselves and speak their convictions, or they would not be worthy of the trust that you have put in them as members of this general board. I remind you that the election of non-Baptist trustees is not something new nor radical to Southern Baptist life. The Baptists of Virginia operate the University of Richmond on a somewhat similar plan. Our brethren to the south in Georgia operate Mercer University on somewhat the same plan. Yet these schools have been able to maintain a Baptist witness. Now, I'm sure some of you would ask, why change? Why have a new proposal of trustee election? One of the basic reasons, of course, is that we might find supplementary, professional, and financial assistance from sources now closed to these schools. I want you to understand something of the financial crisis that faces our colleges today. Not long ago, Bill Friday came to High Point to speak to one of our civic clubs. In that address, he said that the University of North Carolina is putting $800 a year into the education of each pupil in the university system. If you will read your last year's annual, you will find that North Carolina Baptists are putting in just $130 a year for the support of the pupils in their schools. You can see then that unless more financial support is given to these schools, they will soon be out of business. I cannot see a great deal more financial aid coming to our schools through the regular channels of our convention. When you've gone over the budget as we have this past year and recognize the fact that we had $200,000 more requests than we were able to fill, you begin to see that if we're going to do anything to continue the witness of Christ in state missions, in world missions, and in other areas of our work, we will always be limited in the amount of cooperative program dollars that we can put into our schools. We must look then to other sources for income. It seems to me that this proposed plan might help us at this point. There are many outstanding foundations in America with millions of dollars and a concern to help private education in this crisis. If these foundations can be given the assurance that any school is willing to render more than local service, that its board of trustees has some continuity in the election of trustees, that there is a fair representation of alumni, there is every reason to believe that some of these foundations may come to help us in this hour of crisis. Through the years, these schools have sent out many fine alumni, some of whom do not belong to Baptist churches. Others are Baptists who live outside of North Carolina. These alumni have our schools at heart. They are competent in business judgment, educational proficiency, professional excellence. They could render, they want to render service for their alma mater. They could serve most ably as a trustee if we would give them the opportunity. This proposal simply makes it possible to draw upon this fine resource of interest and help for our schools. Through the years, Our colleges have rendered valuable service to the public in their immediate communities. In these communities, Christians of other denominations are vitally interested in maintaining our schools with their distinctive emphasis on truth and character and moral responsibility and the preaching of the gospel of Christ and the development of Christian life. These friends could give valuable assistance as trustees. Remember that three of our colleges are close to other states where there is a tremendous reservoir of goodwill. Gardner Webb College, for example, is just 10 miles from South Carolina. Many of our students come from South Carolina. A trustee from Gaffney, South Carolina, for example, could be most valuable in encouraging support for the school from its friends in that area. It would not be a matter of this person controlling the school. Rather, it would be that the school, through this South Carolina trustee, could enlarge its ministry and outreach and build upon a broader base. Through this plan, it may be permissible to have up to 25% non-Baptist on any board at any one time. However, the practical situation would very seldom dictate such a policy. It is my belief that most of those selected in the 25% group would be Baptist, some living out of the state. Certainly, any non-Baptist who might be nominated as a trustee would be one who would have the belief in the same thing that we have, trying to project a distinctive program of Christian higher education. I cannot conceive of any of these schools ever nominating anyone who is not vitally interested in their welfare. Certainly, this proposal will not solve all the problems of our schools. However, it will give them a broader base with which to meet the crisis in higher education. Thousands of our finest Baptist young people are knocking on the doors of our schools. With this proposal, we will be able to say to a few of them at least, "We Baptists of North Carolina have done everything we can to help you secure the best education, a Christ-centered education." I could hope that we would approve these constitutional changes and by so doing express confidence in these schools, in their leaders, and give them an opportunity to strengthen their base of operation through the trustees. And now I would like to present to you one whom we all love, respect, Dr. Hart Blackwell of Mars Hill College, president of that school for many years.
Mr. President, Dr. Price, and fellow Christians, a long time ago, when Mars Hill College was an academy, and I, a veteran of World War I, fresh from the battlefields of Europe, I enrolled as a student there, seeking to find direction for my life. About the only thing I knew at that time was, thank you very much, Dr. Bates. About the only thing I knew at that time was that I needed everything. By the end of my 3 years of study in the academy, I was, by the grace of God and the patient instruction of Dr. and Mrs. Robert Lee Moore and my other teachers, a much better oriented person. 37 years ago, I was asked by Dr. Moore to return to Mars Hill as a member of the faculty. 13 months later, I gave him an affirmative answer. the agony of those intervening months of indecision, I do not care to rehearse. What was it that kept coming back to me again and again as I struggled for a decision? It had no relation to physical plant or salary scale. Neither of these was ever once mentioned, either by Dr. Moore or me. That which kept disturbing me was a sense of divine call, stemming from the purpose, the spirit, and the Christian commitment of the college. As for all the rest together, I could have given my answer in 13 hours instead of 13 months. As one who has had close association with all seven of our colleges for more than 35 years, I can affirm today their soundness of Christian purpose, their unimpeachable Christian integrity, and their thorough Christian commitment. Could I not do this, I would feel that this long span of the years of my life had not been done very well, to say the least. Witness what these colleges have done. Count the preachers, the missionaries, the teachers, the doctors, the lawyers, the nurses, and the multitude not known so well who have studied in these colleges and then have gone out to serve faithfully and effectively in their local churches, in their local communities, and in their district associations. The opportunities of the Christian College become greater and greater as the population increases, as standards of living are elevated, as media of worldwide communication are improved and multiplied. Well do I remember the time when all of our colleges had to employ representatives to look for students. The dread of having unoccupied dormitory rooms was terrifying. Today, the situation is reversed. The applications for admission to our colleges come and come and come until all rooms are filled, and still they come. Prospective students and their parents, their teachers, their pastors began pleading. One of the most heartbreaking experiences I ever have is that of saying to an ambitious and alert young person, "I am sorry, but all rooms are taken and there is a long waiting list of applicants. For this reason, we cannot accept you." When that young person goes away with countenance downcast, I am left to wonder what influence this decision will have upon the course and the usefulness of his life. I believe that every young person should be given the opportunity of all the education he is able to receive with profit. Among the pictures taken during the dedication ceremonies of the Permanent Hall of Science at the New York World's Fair last September 9th, there was one that impressed me greatly. It was a picture of four of the men who were involved in those ceremonies gazing off into outer space. A time when men of great learning and great wisdom gaze in wonder into outer space is no time for slowing down our educational processes. It is no time for the retrenchment of the work of our seven Baptist colleges. It is no time for mediocrity. It is, on the contrary, a time for excellence. It is a time for going forward. It is a time for mutual confidence. It is a time for mutual confidence and for prayer. These colleges are not seeking to get away from convention control. What they are seeking is to broaden the base of their operation in the hope of bringing in wider support and larger resources. Think now of what has been done by the Reynolds, the Gardners, the Webbs, the Cannons, all of whom, insofar as I know, are non-Baptists. All of these are our neighbors. They know the structure of our colleges, but they contribute largely on the basis of community interest. The executives and the directors of corporations and foundations situated in communities far removed from this section do not know our colleges. They do not share the interest of our closer neighbors. The trustee proposal we are now considering would go a long way toward removing this barrier. Knowledge gained by association and participation on the part of those who direct the affairs of those more distant corporations and foundations would almost certainly result in the colleges benefiting from their wisdom and their resources. There is no shortage of supply of persons among North Carolina Baptists to meet our need for trustees. There is, however, great waste in not using some of the alumni and other friends of these colleges who do not qualify under the present plan for choosing trustees. One paragraph I will omit, but I do want to say this final word. In this time of unprecedented opportunities for our colleges, it is important that we work together in a spirit of Christian love, harmony, mutual confidence, and mutual understanding. If these colleges are to answer the call of the times, the cords of the base of their operation must be lengthened, and the stakes which are anchored in our churches must be strengthened. An important step in this direction would, I believe, be the passage of this proposal, and therefore I urge you to adopt it.
You have been gracious enough, whether you approved or disapproved, not to break out into cheering, and now some of you will approve and some of you will disapprove. The other speakers, let's do the same. Let's refrain from cheering and be reverent and prayerful. And now I recognize whoever is the next speaker. Brother Ferguson of Charlotte and Thomasboro Church, I'll call the name of his church.
Mr. President, I'm bringing a minority report that reads, we recommend to the North Carolina Baptist Convention that Section A of Article 9 of the Constitution of the Baptist State Convention be left unchanged, the title of this section being Institutions and Agencies of the Convention. And I'd like to make in the very beginning it abundantly clear that the purpose in bringing this minority report on this matter does not, and we do not want it to indicate in any sense that we are anti other denominations. I'm not discussing this morning whether church ought to have a barbecue or not, but one of our neighboring churches some time ago had a barbecue and they served 10,000 pounds of meat. The only meat they had was pork. They didn't provide any kosher, but that does not indicate that they were anti-Semitic. They used only that which they thought would best serve their purpose. And the fact that we believe that Baptist trustees ought to be trustees of Baptist schools does not mean that we are against any other denomination in their particular program, but we feel that Baptists can best serve Baptist institutions. Some time ago, my wife bought a new washing machine, which is a big thing in our family with the budget we have. And in bringing the machine into the kitchen, it was dropped. Some of the porcelain was broken on the machine. Well, we went to the proper place and bought some patching. But that part that was patched was not a part of the original. It does not blend in perfectly with it. There is a distinction between the original enamel and that which was sought to repair it. Now, some of us believe that this is not a matter of number primarily, how many trustees we have, Baptists, how many non-Baptists. It's a matter of wholeness. shall, at the present time, all of our trustees are Baptists, shall we break the wholeness of the pattern. And we have with us today two men who are going to present arguments for the minority report in this matter, Brother Tom Freeman and Brother M.O. Owen, in that order. And they'll take the rest of the allotted time, Brother Tom Freeman.
Brethren and sisters, it's a privilege to talk with you about this morning. I want to say in the beginning that I am not here to discuss persons. I have the utmost confidence in the presidents and the deans of our colleges and the chairman of the trustees of the college, in our general board, the president of the general board, and all the rest. I am here to oppose an idea, not people. I want to suggest to you why I think we ought to reject this new trustee proposal. I ask you to vote against it, not against our leaders, against the proposal. Not against people, but against an idea and a principle. We can do this and still love one another and work together. Now let me suggest some reasons. First of all, this is a different and more drastic proposal than the one you declined to adopt last year in Wilmington. The compromise proposal last year on which the convention voted, and which more than 1,100 of you voted against, offered only 4 non-Baptist trustees out of 36 at one of our colleges. That's about 11%. It is proposed now that we permit 25% of the trustees in all 7 Baptist colleges. Now that's a different thing. It is a more radical thing. It is a more revolutionary thing. The defeated proposal affected only one of the colleges, whereas this affects all. It is permissive, to be sure. Nevertheless, it affects every college we have. Now, in view of the tensions and confusions and uncertainties that are evident among us, I ask you, shall we run the risk with all of our colleges of a more drastic proposal than we declined for one college? Again, this has come to the convention without the safeguards that were presented in the proposal last year. You will remember that in the proposal last year, which was a compromise, there were 2 safeguards written in. One, that the control of the executive committee would always be in Baptist hands. Our Council on Christian Education has chosen to leave that out this year. No one has said why, but there is no safeguard of this kind. Second, the choice of a new administration. Last year, this safeguard was written in. It was provided in the proposal last year that when a new president is to be selected, North Carolina Baptist would do the selecting. This is not in the new proposal. I submit to you that this is different and more drastic. In the second place, this will point us in a new direction as North Carolina Baptist. Some reporters call it revolutionary. That may be too strong a term. But I tell you, my friends, we will be turning down a road in a new direction if we do this. And I believe we should not. Now I want to cite for your consideration a man who ought to know something about Christian education, Dr. Kenneth Scott Latterett. For many years, a professor at Yale University, a world-renowned and respected Baptist leader and scholar and writer, past president of the American Baptist Convention. Dr. Latterett recently had this to say: I am in my 80th year. I've seen all too many colleges founded by Baptists and largely with Baptist money gradually dissipate their Baptist relationships and in the end sever any significant connection that they may have had with our denomination. He went on to say, the pattern, as I have observed it, is quite clear. Notice this. First of all, the percentage of Baptist students in the college drops off due sometimes to pricing ourselves out of the Baptist field, sometimes to the adoption of academic standards which make the school altogether and unnecessarily too exclusive. Secondly, the faculty begins to be appointed on grounds of academic qualifications alone, with lessening regard to their Christian convictions or connections. Finally, the Board of Trustees ceases to be mainly Baptist, with men of other faiths or none brought to the board for largely financial or prestige reasons. When these three factors have been at work for a sufficiently long time, Baptist control is forfeited and institutions are alienated from us. This is a testimony of a man who has witnessed these things in the American Baptist Convention. Now, in response to what Dr. Price presented about the crisis in higher education, I want to say that it's my opinion, and I believe it is your opinion, that the crisis in higher education in the United States does not justify this change. It is not our crisis. Our schools have been growing at a tremendous rate, faster perhaps than we can support them, but we are doing more than our share in our chosen field of sectarian education. I'm assuming that we all believe that our Baptist colleges are Baptist, and if they are Baptist, they're sectarian, and we have a specialized job to do in Christian higher education. We're not in education for education's sake, and we have no business in it for that sake. We cannot afford to be in it for that sake. I want to suggest two or three things in connection with this very briefly. The non-Baptist trustees, as presented to us, are to be elected by the convention, but not really chosen by the convention. We must surrender our right as a convention actually to choose them. I believe it would be divisive and embarrassing if the convention should fail to approve even one of these. If we were to send them back, send the names back, reject one, we would offend someone that our leaders believe is a friend of Baptist education. And yet we may sometime need to do that. If we could not do it, we will have imposed upon ourselves a drastic self-limitation. I question whether this really will open sources of support that are now closed to us. I notice in the material presented by the Council on Christian Education supporting this proposal, they say this: foundations interested in education, while not unsympathetic to church-related institutions, usually take the following points into consideration when making a grant to a college or university. First, ability to render more than local service. I submit to you, we are and have been rendering more than local service. Second, ability to secure professional management and planning within the governing board. I submit to you that we have been and are doing that. Third, assurance of some voice and continuity in the election of trustees. And I submit to you that we have that. The trustees who will be nominated, presented to this convention, have come from lists that have been presented, first of all, by the boards of trustees themselves. We've sent them in. A fair representation of alumni on the board of trustees. I submit to you we have that. And finally, the ability to add strength to strength, both in financial and academic program. If we have not done that, then I am misunderstanding the record of North Carolina Baptist Colleges, of which I am, and I believe you are, justly proud. Now we must face realities. We must bring our aims and programs into focus with our abilities and position. We cannot go on forever expanding faster than means can be provided. There are limits to the resources of all church-related colleges. We need to find a way to meet our needs, to do our specialized job without this. Finally, I want to say that I believe the principle of electing non-Baptists as officers of Baptist institutions is a surrender we ought not to make. We do have Baptist people who can do this for us. Someone reported yesterday that it is conservatively estimated that the tithe of North Carolina Baptists is $200 million a year. Why aren't we touching more of this for our colleges? I believe we can, and I believe we must.
Thank you. I remind the speakers, the newspaper men want your name and church. M.O. Owens, Parkwood. Gastonia Park,
Parkwood.
Parkwood Baptist Church.
Mr. President, fellow Baptist, actually to stand up here to oppose men like Buddy Price and Dr. White Blackwell is almost, and I'm serious in this, almost like opposing motherhood, because I have had the highest regard for both of them through the years. And yet, I stood last year in Wilmington to oppose this same type of proposal, and I stand here to oppose it. I do not know what the outcome will be. I said last year I would accept the verdict of the convention if it decided to accept the proposal. We did not accept it. I say the same thing again, but I am opposed to it. I want to answer an argument or two, and then if I can, to point out what I think is the critical issue in this matter. The only pertinent reason that is offered for changing the trustee arrangement is the possibility of increasing money. Now, several other things have been suggested, maybe, but all of them come right back to this issue, that we are trying to increase our income. Nobody, of course, objects to this. We recognize that there is validity in the desire, but we question the means that is suggested. Implied also in it is the fact that Baptists perhaps are not supporting our schools. Thus, we must reach out beyond our own area and our own abilities. The record shows that we are giving our schools more than $1 million a year. In fact, more than $1.25 million a year. Since 1932, the direct gifts of North Carolina Baptist churches to our colleges has been at least $16 million. Wake Forest College has received almost $6 million in that length of time. In the Charlotte Observer a few days ago, there was an article dealing with college support, and it reported that Southern denominations, are supporting their schools much better than denominations in other parts of the country. Last year, for instance, according to this article, the national average was only about $32 per student given by the denominations of our country. The Southern average for all denominations in the South was $56 per student, but North Carolina Baptist gave to their seven colleges last year $134 per student. Now, I grant you that this is peanuts compared to $800 a year that the North Carolina University is putting into it, but you and I are helping to pay the bill of that $800 plus this $134 that we're giving for our own institutions. One of our problems, of course, is the increased enrollment of our schools. We all recognize this, but I want to remind the convention that in 1961, the convention asked the colleges not to greatly increase their enrollments. In a special convention session here in Greensboro on May the 4th, 1961, we adopted the following statement. It's on page 53 of the 1961 annual, if you want to look it up. In view of the increased state and federal interest in higher education, we recommend that the Baptist State Convention or our colleges make no great attempt to increase the enrollment of our Baptist schools at this time, but rather give more attention to Christian education of such a quality as to strengthen the work of our churches, institutions, and our Baptist witness around the world. Now, I grant, all of us know that there is a great influx of students who want to come, but we can't possibly take all of the students who want to come to our colleges. Yet, in spite of what the Baptist State Convention said in 1961, This past year, the enrollment was almost 3,000 more students in our Baptist schools than we had in 1961. We are proud of that fact, of course, in a sense, but I submit to you that the problem that is created is one of the college's own doing, in that they have actually violated, in a sense, that which we ask them not to do. Because we have recognized for years that we cannot possibly support schools in tremendous numbers, students in tremendous numbers. Our only ability is to try to help those who are going to be the leaders of our denomination and our Christian brethren in their provision for the kind of education that we believe they ought to have. A second thing, the proponents of this proposal offer us the examples of Richmond, Stetson, Mercer, and William Jewell College. Two of these, by charter, have self-perpetuating boards of trustees. Our colleges, all seven of them, once operated under this same plan. Every one of them had self-perpetuating boards of trustees. They evidently thought that it was valuable and vital to be under the control of the Baptist State Convention, because they all came under the control of the convention. At the time, money was the object, perhaps then, we frankly admit. But they asked the Baptist of North Carolina to provide for them and to control them. Now they come and say that they want to be free to a certain extent. At least we are moving in that direction. But I want to call your attention to these four schools that they point out as being models that we ought to follow. The actual truth is that Wake Forest College has done far better than any one of these schools in almost any area that you would like to point out. For instance, in the area of enrollment, only the University of Richmond has anything like the same enrollment that Wake Forest has. Richmond has a few more students than Wake Forest College. In the amount of income from endowment, the University of Richmond last year had only $447,000. The Wake Forest College had over $600,000. In the amount of income from outside support, outside sources, these foundations and individuals who give to our schools, only Richmond was comparative to Wake Forest. Wake Forest received $676,000 and the University of Richmond $680,000, $4,000 more. The others were far less than this. I say to you that they've not gained anything by the type of setup that they have, would we? My last point is just this. The basic issue in this whole matter, so far as I'm concerned, is the ultimate control of our schools. Now, if we want to give them away, that's fine. But if we're going to support them, then I believe we ought to control them. And I believe that this is a first step in the direction away from control. In the report of the Committee of Nine in 1958, we very definitely said, and you adopted unanimously, this sort of a statement, that our